views and opinions on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Oldies 1079, WOLD, or SRN Communications.
It's time now for Here's the Thing, a show that's all about you with your host, Lauren Cardinal, a board-certified hypnotist and results coach. If you're looking to make a positive change this year, learn lifelong tools to reduce stress and be present. If you're stuck and need to remove the blocks that are from success and happiness in the areas of your life, or if you want to get a new perspective on things, well, it's time to talk to Lauren Cardinal. To talk to Lauren, call 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. And now, here's your host, Lauren Cardinal.
I am Lauren Cardinal, your host. Changing your body, your life, and your experience starts with changing your mind. Right here, right now. So thank you for listening live now on Oldies 107.9 WOLD, now serving even more of Central Jersey at 95.1 FM, and delayed recordings of the show being played on 97.5 in Sussex County on Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m. Now this show, Here's the Thing, is about you and it's for you. Each week I talk about different topics and it's based on experiences that I've had, topics that have come up, all with the intention for it to be relevant and timely and things that can be of service and of use to you for changing your perspective on things, giving a new way to deal with the stress in your life, or making different choices. So if you have something to share, please do give a call to the station. In the meantime, thank you for listening live and thank you to my podcast listeners. If you'd like to give a call into the station to talk about any topics, anything relevant to the show tonight, the number is 732-748-1079. Now, regarding tonight's topic, we make room for remarkably narrow range of personality types. We're told that to be great is to be bold. To be happy is to be sociable. We see ourselves as a nation of extroverts, which means we have lost sight of who we really are. An introvert, as defined, is a shy, reticent person. Synonyms are reserved, withdrawn, retiring, quiet, introspective, self-absorbed, even. An extrovert is an outgoing, overtly expressive person. And synonyms are sociable person, socializer, life of the party. The Cambridge Dictionary defines extroverts as an energetic, happy person who enjoys being with other people. But because introverts aren't happy? It's very interesting the perceptions and perspectives that we have on introverts and extroverts. And more so in the past, things are changing. But another point, kind of a little news flash that I want to bring up, is that shyness is not indicative of introverts. Shyness is the fear of social disapproval or humiliation. But introversion is a preference for environments that are not overly stimulating. Shyness is painful. Introversion is not. Tonight, we are talking about the spectrum of introversion through and to extroversion and how to understand where you are on that spectrum and the amazing benefits of all of it, particularly in this world that is a culture, specifically culture of personality. If you have something you'd like to share, please call in. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? What about your experience? What tells you that you are? What's your indication? What are some of the trials and tribulations you've had for wherever you are on that spectrum? Call in 732-748-1079. Let me know what's on your mind. So first off, tonight's show is brought to you by Full Recovery Wellness Center. Full Recovery is located in Fairfield, New Jersey. And whether you're struggling to get clean and sober, whether you're a 12-step old-timer or a family member of a recovering alcoholic or addict, the Full Recovery Wellness Center offers the tools needed to succeed in recovery and in life. They have a dedicated and caring staff that understands that addiction is complex illness. It has biological, genetic, psychological, social, and developmental roots, and their treatment targets the entire range of those factors. Their goal is simple: provide the tools to help people in recovery to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery offers outpatient and intensive outpatient treatment programs, as well as free family dynamic workshop series. They focus on the individual and the family to integrate recovery principles and spiritual concepts with leadership, relationship, and career skills to guide individuals to a life of contribution and prosperity. For more information, you can find them at 973-244-0022. That's 973-244-0022. Or find them online at www.full-recovery.com. That's full-recovery.com. Now, I wanted to let you know also that in the past, I haven't been able to do hypnosis sessions remotely, because in order for me to be compliant with my board, all of my sessions have to be in compliance with HIPAA regulations. So phone sessions and Skype sessions have not been an option. They're not compliant with HIPAA. Now, however, there is a way for me to do a teleconference hypnosis session that is HIPAA compliant. And this opens up a new way for me to work with people who are not an easy traveling distance to my office. And while I still prefer face-to-face sessions, when that is not a reasonable option, there is an alternative. So if you're listening and you've considered doing hypnosis session, know that it's not absolutely necessary for you to drive the distance to my office. We have another option that's HIPAA compliant. Very exciting times. So in last week's show, we discussed the sensitivities around the number of our age. And I think probably past the age of 13 or so, we aren't really asked our age very much because of the sensitivities around it and all that goes with growing older. And I talked about signs that we may be in that wonderful stage of the mid-years transformation opportunity, otherwise known as, unfortunately, the midlife crisis. Total misnomer. We spoke of the benefits of getting older, the importance of knowing your internal age. The internal age is if somebody asks you how old you feel, what's that number? And we also had a really fun caller as well who talked about what a great time she's having about to turn 60 and even making us all crave fish sticks just a little bit. So to learn what was discussed on the show, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find that podcast, as well as all of my previous shows' podcasts, on my website, www.laurencardinal.com, or through iTunes. Now, in addition to welcoming listeners on 107.9 and 95.1, I'd like to welcome the Sussex County listening audience to the show on WRSK 97.5, broadcasting pre-recorded shows from the Sussex County Community College on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Good times. And as always, you can listen to the show live on the internet at WOLDradio.com through the TuneIn Radio app on your phone or the free Apple device app. If you'd like to receive my newsletter, it goes out every week on Thursdays. It's called Here's the Thing on Thursday. My weekly newsletter, it's always short and to the point. I may provide highlights of my weekly radio show or ponderings on a thought or a quote or just links to some really great information. You can go to my website's contact page to sign up for the newsletter or send me an email. As you know, my website is laurencardinal.com or the email is lauren@laurencardinal.com. You sign up, I'll add your name to the newsletter list and off we go. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Here's the Thing. I'm your host, Lauren Cardinal, board-certified hypnotist and results coach. And tonight we're talking about introverts, extroverts, and we will be talking about ambiverts. What do you think about that? Where do you think you are? Keep listening, but if you have a thought you want to share, please call at 732-748-1079. Now, in my newsletter last week, it was about how, as a society, we so often focus on bigger, better, stronger, faster, or something in that vein, right? I used to have a t-shirt, I think, somebody gave to me, and it said, you can never be too thin, too rich, or too cool. So it's all along the vein, just more, 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 right? Better, better, best, best, best. It's about how to be the best, make progress towards being there, or winning, right? My thoughts are, what's wrong with being average if you're being the best you? And I think to a certain extent we're all thinking along those lines, but there is that line where we're not necessarily being the best us, and it is the focus on bigger, better, stronger, faster. And that's the point, the tipping point, where we can start to get a little in our own way. But the thing is, if you're happy with what's going on with you, what everyone else is doing just falls away. You may still strive for the top. That's great. You may want to win. That's great. But the pressure and the self-criticism fall away. And that makes for an easier time of it all. And that's at the heart of so much of our daily experience, right? Stress and anxiety. So what does that have to do with tonight's topic? Well, it's about being okay right where you are. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you know that I've mentioned this subject of introversion versus extroversion as a topic I wanted to cover. And my only hesitation really has been that the magnitude of information is there, and how do I get that in an hour's show? So tonight's show is about identifying where you are on the spectrum of introvert to extrovert and being okay with it. I put together a lot of information for tonight, but I want to allow the time to take some calls too and share some information if you want to call in. If we need to finish the content with another show, so be it. But let's get going. I wanted to discuss this matter because even though the terms introvert and extrovert are relatively common knowledge, I think there are still a lot of misunderstandings. And these misunderstandings reinforce the disservice to those of us who do not fall under the extrovert category, I say with a smile on my face. Now, being an introvert has become far more acceptable of late. I would almost say even borderline trendy. But it's still important to understand what's behind it. Or we may be inclined to allow ourselves to fall into the old definitions of introvert and turn everything backwards about 100 years. In its most basic form, an introvert is someone who recharges from time alone. An extrovert recharges by being around other people. And no one is completely and 100% at either end. At the very least, they would not be mentally healthy or even stable if they were. Carl Jung stated, "There's no such thing as a pure extrovert or a pure introvert. Such a man would be a lunatic, would be in a lunatic asylum." And we're all wonderfully complex individuals, but also because there's so many variations that include personality traits, experiences we've had, and even our culture. For example, people from Finland are notoriously introverted. And to reinforce, being an introvert is not the same as being shy. I'll go into some variations of each of the personality types in a few minutes, but we are all somewhere on that spectrum. I fall in between as well. Some days more extroverted, some more introverted, but I do need a lot of time alone. So I classify myself as more of an introvert, or possibly an ambivert, and as I mentioned, we'll get into that one as well. So you may say, well, how can I do a radio show if I'm an introvert? Well, the answer lies in the content. As we will get into a bit more, small talk is not necessarily the safe zone of an introvert. And as you know, the topics on this show are generally based on in-depth information. We get into some topics here. It's not simply like information about how to get your best shave or how to wear your purple eyeshadow. And both topics, I may want to know about. Anyone may want to know about. Just it's not necessarily my best comfort zone for conversation. And the same is true for most introverts. Talking about something more in depth is more of a comfort area. Do you relate to that? Are you more on the introverted side? So why the discussion about introverts and extroverts? Why am I bringing this topic up? Because we are a society that's focused on the extrovert, yet only a small portion of us really identify with it. I believe there's a tremendous value that introverts bring to the table, and I want to address it to help alleviate some of the side effects we sometimes feel as a result of the preoccupation. There is a cultural historian, Warren Sussman, who has quoted that we've moved from a culture of character to a culture of personality. And when he did that, when he says that that opened up a Pandora's box of personal anxieties from which we would never quite recover. And that's the main point here that I wanted to bring up is the anxieties. In the culture of character, the ideal self was serious, disciplined, and honorable. What counted was not so much the impression one made in public as how one behaved in private. And at the onset of the culture of personality, we were urged to develop an extroverted personality for, frankly, selfish reasons, as a way of outshining the crowd in a newly anonymous and competitive society. But nowadays, we tend to think that becoming more extroverted not only makes us more successful, but also makes us better people. And that's the rub. We see salesmanship as a way of sharing one's gifts with the world. Now, I talk about nowadays that we think of it as becoming, as it makes us better people. Extroversion has always had its place in societies. The extrovert ideal isn't a new invention. There were the Greek orators, larger-than-life ministers, even our forefathers, right? The outspoken were followed. The give me freedom or give me death. But it's that part of needing to be extroverted to be a better person where we go astray. And the anxieties kick in. And let me share some information to highlight how far this goes back. And I won't go into it at length because it's not necessarily how it will serve us moving forward, which is where I like to focus. History is history, but what can we do moving forward? But it's important to get some background to know where this all started. It actually started happening almost 200 years ago, but I'm not going to go into the details that far back. More specifically, about 100 years ago is when Dale Carnegie started doing all of his speaking and going out there and teaching people the art of public speaking and sales. And as a matter of fact, his books are still popular, right? How to Win Friends and Influence People. In 1920, interestingly, T.S. Eliot wrote The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, which includes the line, to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. Talking about getting out there, kind of getting yourself ready to put yourself out there, right? And for introverts, that tends to be what happens at least some of the time. Also in the 1920s, Alfred Adler, who studied under Sigmund Freud, coined the term inferiority complex. Now that's something we're familiar with, right? You've heard that before. What he meant by that was that all humans have some feelings of inferiority and are striving to overcome them. Like when you're born, we are inferior, and it's that process as we grow to overcome them. It's when one becomes fully consumed in his or her pursuit of power or by feelings of inferiority to the point of paralysis that inferiority becomes a burden. It's at that point that one shifts from having feelings of inferiority to having what Adler called the inferiority complex. But the idea of it, the inferiority complex, it became a popular term. It became household inferiority complex. And because it started with birth and children feeling inferior as part of the natural progression of events, it started to relate more to children and parents having the fear of having children with an inferiority complex sent them spinning. But it also became the fallback. Everything was reverted to, oh, inferiority complex, oh, inferiority complex. Much like we fall back on the term narcissism these days, or even, what's that word? I can't think of it. I'll come back to it. But it's that coming back to that term, sort of as a catch-all, but it was definitely not what you wanted to have, an inferiority complex. And interestingly, this I find absolutely fascinating. Fascinating. And this probably hooked me on the topic of wanting to discuss it on the show. In 1955, a company named Carter Wallace released an anti-anxiety drug named Miltown. And it was reframing anxiety as the natural product of a society that was both dog-eat-dog and relentlessly social. Miltown was marketed to men and was immediately the fastest-selling pharmaceutical in American history. According to social historians, by 1956, a year later, 1 in 20 Americans had tried it. And by 1960, just 4 years later, one-third of all prescriptions written from the U.S. doctors were for Miltown, or the similar drug called Equinil. And the tagline for Equinil, their ad, said, "Anxiety and tension are the commonplace of the age." And then in the 60s, the tranquilizers came into play for the anxiety that comes from not fitting in. That was the ad on that one. The anxiety that comes from not fitting in. So thinking about this, the culture of character some time ago, having someone be well known was more difficult to come by. And as those barriers came down, like film and TV, the increase in role models who were extroverted, while the actual number count may not have increased, they certainly became more well known. And if we think Hollywood here, being social, red carpet events, talking to the press, parties, the pressure is there and more visible to the entire U.S. population about being extroverted. And the anxiety that comes from not fitting in. Because if you're an introvert, it's a very difficult thing to do. Yet, introverts may want to fit in and be more extroverted. Hence, anxiety medications. Fascinating. I find this fascinating. And what about when you were a child? Did you have a similar experience of being influenced to think that being extroverted was the necessary goal? And it may be that more men experience this than women, but it affects us all. Even if you weren't directly affected by parents, maybe it was teachers. How much of that need to be extroverted affected you then? What about now? You know, so many schools and programs still focus on bunching desks together in pods and groups to reinforce that group communication. And that's great for an extrovert, but not for an introvert. And group projects, it's the same thing. Unless there's an extrovert on the group, and then maybe if there was a presentation to do, the extrovert could do the presentation at the end of the group project. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Here's the Thing. I'm your host, Lauren Cardinal, board-certified hypnotist and results coach. And tonight, we're talking about introverts, extroverts, and getting to ambiverts. What do you think about that? Where are you on that spectrum? Keep listening, but if you have a thought you want to share, please call 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. And if we think about teens now, talking about kids in school, how you felt in school and growing up. If we think about the teens now and how often I see them in my office for anxiety-related issues, they are and feel that they must be increasingly skilled at shaping their online and offline persona. The students inhabit a world in which status, income, and self-esteem depend more than ever to meet the demands of the culture of personality. The pressure to entertain, to sell ourselves, and to never be visibly anxious just keeps ratcheting up. And I'll add in there the interest for perfectionism. We've talked about this before on the show with the social media and being able to see what everyone else is doing and all the accolades everyone is getting. When I see these kids in my office, they're feeling the repercussions of all of that, of seeing it, and perhaps just not yet old enough to be more grounded and centered and focused inward. It's all out, out, out. It's all social, social, social. So it just keeps ratcheting up, and the anxiety, full-blown anxiety attacks I'm seeing, 12, 13, 15 years old. Now, the number of Americans who consider themselves shy increased from 40% in the 1970s to 50% in the 1990s. And that may be because we raised the standards and expectations of fearless self-presentation. But I just wonder how many of the people in those studies are really just introverts that didn't have a better definition and they have an uninformed opinion that they were shy. I would bet that the number of shy people is lower and those that consider themselves introverts is much higher. And social anxiety disorder, which basically means pathological shyness, is now thought to afflict more than 1 in 5 of us in the United States. Now, earlier I mentioned that we're going to get into how to identify where you are on the spectrum, as far as the spectrum from introvert at one end and extrovert at the other end. And a lot of us fall somewhere in the middle. As I mentioned, we can't be 100% on either end. So I wanted to offer up an informal quiz. And it's not a scientifically validated personality test. The quiz is taken from Susan Cain's book called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. For this quiz, just you can answer each question as true or false, and by choosing the answer that applies to you more often than not. And the questions were formulated based on characteristics of introversion often accepted by contemporary research. I might suggest getting out a pencil and paper if you wanted to. It's really just true and false if you can count it on your hands. If you want to count it all, then you can do it that way. And I'm just looking at the time, and I think what we'll do before I get into all of the questions, we'll just take a quick break, 2-minute break, and we'll come back and get started in this true or false quiz. So taking a quick break, we'll be right back. Did you know there's a world-class addiction treatment center that accepts most insurance right in Fairfield, New Jersey? The Full Recovery Wellness Center offers substance abuse help with flexible day and evening options. Overcoming addictive behavior is really just the beginning of recovery. The Full Recovery program offers a holistic approach to improve all areas of your life, from strained relationships to difficult career and financial situations. At Full Recovery, the goal is simple: provide you the tools needed to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery is now offering its exclusive Badge of Honor program, a treatment solution designed to meet the unique privacy needs of New Jersey's first responders and police officers. When relapse is not an option, turn to the state licensed professionals at the Full Recovery Wellness Center, located at 87 Fairfield Road in Fairfield. For more information, 973-244-0022 or at www.full-recovery.com. Full Recovery Wellness Center in Fairfield.
And now, back to Here's the Thing, a show that's all about you on WOLD. And your host, Lauren Cardinal, a board-certified hypnotist and results coach. If you'd like to speak to Lauren, you can call in at 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. Let's get back to the show with your host, Lauren Cardinal.
Hello, and welcome back. We were, before the break, we were just about to go into this informal quiz regarding introverts and extroverts and where you fall on that spectrum. So it is an informal quiz. It's not scientifically validated. It's not a personality test, but it just gives you a benchmark for understanding where you are. So there are 20 questions or 20 statements, and it's a matter of indicating whether it's true for you or false for you, based on which answer applies to you more often than not. So number one, I prefer one-on-one conversations to group activities. Number two, I often prefer to express myself in writing. Number three, I enjoy solitude. Number four, I seem to care less than my peers about wealth, fame, and status. Number five, I dislike small talk, but I enjoy talking in depth about topics that matter to me. Number six, people tell me that I'm a good listener. Number seven, I'm not a big risk taker. Number eight, I enjoy work that allows me to dive in with few interruptions. Number nine, I like to celebrate birthdays on a small scale with only one or two friends or family members. Number 10, people describe me as soft-spoken or mellow. Number 11, I prefer not to show or discuss my work with others until it's finished. Number 12, I dislike conflict. Number 13, I do my best work on my own. Number 14, I tend to think before I speak. Number 15, I feel drained after being out and about, even if I've enjoyed myself. Number 16, I often let calls go through to voicemail. Number 17, if I had to choose, I'd prefer a weekend with absolutely nothing to do to one with too many things scheduled. Number 18, I don't enjoy multitasking. Number 19, I can concentrate easily. And number 20, in classroom situations, I prefer lectures to seminars. Now, those are the 20 questions, and the more you answered, the more often you answered true, the more introverted you probably are. If you found yourself with roughly equal number of true and false answers, then you may be an ambivert. Yes, there really is such a word. But even if you answered every single question as an introvert or an extrovert, it doesn't mean that your behavior is predictable across all circumstances. We can't say that every introvert is a bookworm or that every extrovert wears lampshades on their heads at parties, any more than we can say that every woman is a natural consensus builder and every man loves contact sports. Earlier I mentioned that there's so many things that make up personalities, including our culture, the way we're brought up, other factors of personality, and all of those things are weaved into all of this. So an ambivert is someone that is somewhere on that spectrum. And the interesting part about it, I think, is that you can fluctuate, that sometimes it's more extroverted, sometimes it's more introverted, depending on the circumstances, depending on the life experiences even of that day, and how we're relating to other people as a result of that. Now, signs of being an ambivert. which I think the majority of us relate to. I think the numbers are somewhere about two-thirds of all people would consider themselves ambiverts. So here are some signs of being an ambivert. Let's see, nine different signs. Number one, I can perform tasks alone or in a group. I don't have much preference either way. Two, social settings don't make me uncomfortable, but I tire of being around people too much. And if any one of these apply to you, as I'm reading them off, think about circumstances when the opposite might have been true. Or, as a result of your upbringing, that you're more able to handle the situations, because there is that part of it too. And I even think of it for myself that, who knows, if I had been left to my own devices, I may be far more introverted than I am. But over the course of my life, I've been exposed to experiences and built up certain confidences to be able to handle myself better in different situations, so that performing tasks alone or in a group really doesn't give me a preference either way. And social settings don't make me uncomfortable. But I do tire of being around people too much, and I need to recharge by being alone. So those are the first two. And maybe the same applies to you based on your experiences. Number three, being the center of attention is fun for me, but I don't like it to last. Four, some people think I'm quiet, while others think I'm highly social. And I think there's something in that part, too, that I would consider an ambivert. Well, some people think, if you're thinking about that statement, that fourth one, some people think I'm quiet while others think I'm highly social. I think a qualification of an ambivert is also someone who knows themselves enough and kind of the energy of the situation, that if someone is quiet, you may balance it out by being the more social one. If someone is more social, you may balance out the situation by being more quiet. What do you think of that? Does that apply to you? Number five, I don't always need to be moving, but too much downtime leaves me feeling bored. And maybe it's a certain amount of time, that to take a vacation for a week is good. To take a vacation for 2 weeks is too much. If it's a relaxing vacation, you're ready to get back into action again. Number six, I can get lost in my own thoughts just as easily as I can lose myself in a conversation. Number seven, small talk doesn't make me uncomfortable, but it does get boring. Number eight, when it comes to trusting other people, sometimes I'm skeptical, and other times I dive right in. Number nine, if I spend too much time alone, I get bored, yet too much time around other people leaves me feeling drained. You know, and number eight, when it comes to trusting other people, sometimes I'm skeptical and other times I dive right in. I wonder about that in terms of being aware of yourself, your thoughts, and your intuition. Because for those times that we dive right in, maybe we're thinking a little bit less. But there also could be the portion of it that's intuitive for you and that you trust yourself, and therefore you trust what your judgment is telling you at that time about whether that person that you're diving right in with is trustworthy or not. Now, the trick to being an ambivert is knowing when to force yourself to lean toward one side of the spectrum when it isn't happening naturally. And, you know, I mentioned that to my son one time, because he does consider himself more of an introvert. And that exact statement I remember saying to him, well, maybe not the exact words verbatim, but just that you don't have to be that extroverted person all of the time, but sometimes pushing yourself up and above just for a moment is what the situation calls for, and perhaps to try and find some comfort level there just for a moment, just to make eye contact and say hello. If that's not a comfortable place, then that would be pushing up and above the comfort level to make the situation work and find more balance there kind of regulate the energy, so to speak. Ambiverts with low self-awareness struggle with that type of situation. For example, at a networking event, let's say, a self-aware ambivert will lean toward the extroverted side of the scale, even if they might be tired, even if it's that over and above push. They know what the situation calls for and might push themselves towards that side of the scale, even if it's been a long day or if he or she's had enough of people. It's just that extra push. And mismatching your approach to the situation can be frustrating. It can also be ineffective. And it can be demoralizing for ambiverts because of how much they're putting out there. You know, it is funny, though, in doing research for this show, I've looked for information on the word ambivert. And what came back to me were articles with titles like, "Be the Most Memorable Person in the Room," and "Winning Personality, The Advantages of Being an Ambivert." And I thought it was funny because it's a matter of, you know, the selling people on the idea of being okay with where you are, but also stating how you can own the room. It's just paradoxical to me, if not just complete polar opposites. It is a matter of finding the comfort where you are, being okay with that, understanding that it's part of the makeup, part of your makeup, and that it adds to the fabric of who we are as a culture. And it takes all kinds. So it really isn't a matter of winning and owning the room. It's a matter of being okay with who you are and being the best version of yourself, going for that highest good. And, you know, in thinking of introverts and extroverts, I couldn't help but think of two friends of mine, one of whom you heard 2 weeks ago on the show. I had him on as a guest, the show about whether change happens from the outside in or the inside out. And in that show, you may remember Michael saying that he had released weight after having surgery. And among the many things that he noticed and was aware of in his experience, something that he mentioned during the show that he hadn't mentioned to me previously was that he noticed how much more interactive he needed to be. People were engaging him more. Now, the result of people engaging him more because he was releasing weight is an entirely different conversation, about how people respond differently to how we may look. But Michael noticed the change in the response based on his exertion. He considers himself to be more of an introvert, and as a result of people engaging him more, which he engaged just fine, you heard him speaking, he's quite eloquent, but he noticed how he needed more time alone to recharge as a result of putting himself out there. That ambivert who was extending himself, but without necessarily having the mental preparation that he was going to need to do that. So it was taxing, and he needed that time to recharge. Conversely, another friend of mine, whom you have not met, is more on the extroverted end of the spectrum. I was commenting to her on the fact, you know, that I could be in my house for several days with no visitors and be perfectly happy working on projects, researching different topics. And she said she's got about a 20-minute limit before needing to engage. Although she's perfectly fine with the two of us doing a 45-minute swimming sessions that we do, which when you're swimming, there's no conversation. It's just swimming. It's kind of like a meditation and that time alone to recharge. So while it's meditation and time alone, something like that worked for her. But she does recharge by being with people and getting out there, not spending time alone in her house. I thought it was funny. And what's really going on is that introverts' brains show higher levels of cortical arousal than extroverts. The reason why getting into a stimulating environment doesn't work for introverts is because their brains are already overstimulated. They prefer to be around quiet, not being around loud noises and big parties, generally speaking, the introverts. So many times we think of introverts, or the old definition of introverts, somebody living in their house alone, never having visitors, you know, sort of the hermit. And that's at the very, very far end of the spectrum. An introvert isn't always like that, but the time alone to recharge is what's needed because the brains are already overstimulated. And, interestingly, introverts have higher heart rates and EEG rates that indicate excitement. One reason that introverts tend to avoid a lot of social stimulation is because they're already excited. I like to think of it with imagery because I'm a hypnotist and that's how I work with using all of the senses. But if we think about a funnel, you know, the type that you may use to help you put gas in your car's tank, or a funnel that you may use to help put some powdery drink mix into the small opening at the top of your water bottle. With extroverts, that opening at the bottom of that funnel is much larger. Just more information can go in without overloading the system. With introverts, the information has to come in a smaller volume. And if too much pours in at once, it's like an overload. So the question is, how big is your funnel? I'm kidding. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Here's the Thing. I'm your host, Lauren Cardinal, board-certified hypnotist and results coach. And tonight we're talking about introverts, extroverts, and ambiverts. Which are you? What do you think you are? What experiences lead you to believe that? What have you overcome? What experiences did you have as a child that led you to believe that either extroverts were where you needed to be, or you're fine where you were being an introvert? I'm asking these questions because of the relevance, I believe, of introverts in our society feeling the need to be more extroverted, and the anxiety that it's causing is driving people into my office, as well as getting more prescriptions. I can't imagine, I haven't looked at the rates back. If we were talking about 1960, one-third of all U.S. prescriptions were for Miltown, the anti-anxiety drug. I wonder what it's like now. And that Xanax, I know we've spoken with George here on the show before, who is now Xanax free for probably close to 3 months. Is that right, George? And the Xanax, how surprisingly addictive he thought it was. And it's prescribed very easily to kind of numb the feelings, right? And there's no denying that sometimes it's needed. That's why the prescription drugs are there. I just question how much is really needed for trying to help us fit into something that isn't really where we're best suited, where we are our best selves, so that the self-criticism and self-judgment just fall away. But to that end, if there is something that you'd like to share, an experience, a thought, some feedback, some dialogue, give a call, 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. You know, as an aside, in a few weeks, I've been speaking with Brian McAllister from Full Recovery Wellness Center. I'm going to have him back on the show. And I'd like to ask him about addiction as it relates to this topic. And just stay with me here for a minute. See, I've often heard people, mainly parents, mentioning their concern about alcohol consumption with their kids. And they've referred to alcohol as a cup of extroversion. Have you heard that expression before? And think about it. If extroversion is the societal ideal, to which not all of us fit in as a society, and particularly for kids and young adults, it's ever important to fit in, right? That whole middle school age period, that's a very difficult time for learning to fit in. If alcohol slows the response time, would that maybe widen that funnel? In addition to being a relaxant to slow down those cortical arousal levels and allow a person to be more relaxed and social, if it's considered or called a cup of extroversion in this society, with the extroversion being the ideal and so many of us tending towards introversion and wanting to fit in, how much does that relate to addiction as part of the cause? And certainly it fits under the developmental and social parts of addiction, if not the genetic component. Interesting. What do you think about that? Let me know. 732-748-1079. Interesting. I want to ask about that. And how social you are is largely driven by dopamine, the brain's feel-good hormone. We all have different levels of dopamine-fueled stimulation in our neocortex. That's the area of the brain that's responsible for the higher mental functions like language and conscious thought. Those who have naturally high levels of stimulation tend to be introverts. They try to avoid any extra social stimulation that might make them feel anxious or overwhelmed. Those with low levels tend to be extroverts. Understimulation leaves extroverts feeling bored, so they seek social stimulation to feel good. Most people's levels of natural stimulation don't reach great extremes, but it fluctuates, so sometimes you may feel the need to seek out stimulation, and other times you may avoid it. You know, interestingly, there's a gentleman, Adam Grant, at the Wharton School of Business, who disproved the powerful and widely held notion that the best performing salespeople are extroverts. He found that ambiverts' greater social flexibility enabled them to outsell all other groups, moving 51% more product per hour than the average salesperson. And actually, the scale started to go down in their ability to move product as the extroversion went up. It's very interesting, very interesting. The ambiverts seem to have a distinct advantage. You know, and while 20% of all Fortune 500 CEOs came from Harvard Business School, where you would be hard-pressed to find an introvert among the group. Introverts do have a place among leadership. Introverts actually do really well in leadership of a company that is made up of a team of extroverts. So an introvert leading an extrovert, leading a group of extroverts, works really well. If we think balance here, and like an ambivert who can be more social if someone's quiet or be quieter if someone's more social, that works very well. And there's value in every contribution from the top of the organization right on down. So we're all somewhere on the spectrum of introvert to extrovert. As a society, for some reason, we prize the extrovert for salesmanship, leadership, and role models. But what I have to ask is, at what cost? When I see people in my office for anxiety and stress relating to winning, being the best, and not wanting to show an ounce of nervousness in order to aspire to that lofty goal, I don't know. I believe we're setting ourselves up for disappointment for really no good reason. If we can find the ways to be satisfied where we are, myself included, the self-criticism, judgments, and comparisons just fall away. What a refreshing breath that would be to take in, right? In closing, I like to close with quotes. So you come home, make some tea, sit down in your armchair, and all around there's silence. Everyone decides for themselves whether that's loneliness or freedom. Another quote, I act differently around different people. It's not because I'm fake. It's because I have a different comfort zone around certain people. And the last one, three's a charm. So if you are too tired to speak, sit next to me, because I, too, am fluent in silence. I would like to thank my sponsor, Full Recovery Wellness Center, and I'd like to thank you for joining me. Set your calendar and tune in next week, live on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 107.9 or 95.1 FM, or delayed recordings at 9 a.m. Saturday mornings on 97.5 WRSK in Sussex County. You don't want to miss the show next week. Until then, keep it light, smile, and enjoy. Good night. There's a world-class addiction treatment center that accepts most insurance right in Fairfield, New Jersey. The Full Recovery Wellness Center offers substance abuse help with flexible day and evening options. Overcoming addictive behavior is really just the beginning of recovery. The Full Recovery program offers a holistic approach to improve all areas of your life, from strained relationships to difficult career and financial situations. At Full Recovery, the goal is simple: provide you the tools needed to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery is now offering its exclusive Badge of Honor program, a treatment solution designed to meet the unique privacy needs of New Jersey's first responders and police officers. When relapse is not an option, turn to the state licensed professionals at the Full Recovery Wellness Center, located at 87 Fairfield Road in Fairfield. For more information, 973-244-0022 or at www.full-recovery.com. Full Recovery Wellness Center in Fairfield.
The views and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Oldies 107.9 WOLD or SRN Communications.